Hey, welcome to Trinity's newer podcast, where we're talking about what's the point of church, things in life, theology, all that sort of fun stuff. And in our first series here, we're talking about what's the point of being Lutheran, being an ELCA congregation, and what's the point of being a Reconciling in Christ congregation. So welcome, everyone. Again, we've got Heather Day, our Children and Family Ministry Director.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. You could be listening to this anytime.
And we have Katie O'Connell.
Heyo.
She is our, digital communications.
Technically digital communications ministry coordinator, but I usually take out the ministry because it's easier. The DCC.
You gave yourself a nickname.
You're welcome.
I can hear Owen Wilson right now.
Wow.
Well, again, welcome everyone to our podcast.
We are using this take.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, no retakes.
Nope.
We are rolling straight ahead. Okay, so last episode we talked about what it was to be a Lutheran, and then talked about some theological nerdery fun stuff with Martin Luther and how it helps inform how we live. And today we're going to talk a little bit more about, we're going to just drop down another level and look at what it means to be an Evangelical Lutheran Church in America member as Trinity, as well as, just ourselves. Mm-hmm. And so I just want to say at the outset, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America hasn't been around forever. It's a little bit older than me. It was formed in 1988. So,
Heather, is it older than
you? Stop looking at me, both of you. Yes, apparently the ELCA is younger than I am.
Oh,
significantly.
But it was the coming together of the American Lutheran Church, the Association of Evangelical Lutheran Churches, and the Lutheran Church in America. So it was three kind of larger Lutheran denominations coming together. And so it's over 30 years old, and it has gone through various changes, I guess you could say. But it's the church, the denomination, excuse me, that we are a member of. So have all of you grown up in an ELCA congregation?
I did, yes. Yep, that has been my life.
So listen, I am older than the ELCA, so clearly my answer is no. Yes-ish, in that since the ELCA has been around, I've been a part of an ELCA congregation. I went to an ELCA college, go Luther College, ELCA seminary. I don't know which of the parent denominations my home church was a part of. Mm-hmm. I'm assuming whichever one was the Norwegian one, the one that was a little more Midwest-centric, that's what it was. But I guess I'm not even sure. But yes and no is my answer.
Yes and no. Okay. Mm-hmm. My background's a little different. So my grandfather was a pastor, and we attended his congregation. And he...
Cool. So where's he from?
Okay, Tom? Yeah. So that's
this
where...
cool.
This is where it gets cool and funky at the same time. So he was from the country Latvia, which is right next to Russia on the Baltic Sea.
Oh, that's cool.
It is, yeah.
That is wild.
It is wild. Yeah. And so he was part of a resistance movement over there. And this is super nerdy. He'd spread Christian newsletters around when the communists were trying to squash any sort of faith.
Oh, and my God.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
He's cool.
And had radios set up so people could hear sermons if they couldn't be at a underground church. Anyways,
why have you not talked about him more? I've never heard this story or anything like this. Clearly Heather has.
Well, yeah. These stories are just a part of me, so I think they're not boring.
Tom, who are you?
Some people might have heard these stories. Now, you haven't been here.
That's fair.
All that long, has talked about this in sermons before.
Yeah, yeah. So anyways, we can talk about so anyways, so he didn't become a pastor until essentially Lutheran World Relief before it was Lutheran World Relief, helped him and his wife, my grandmother, come to America. And so he got his seminary degree in the U.S., in Nebraska. I don't know what seminary. But he served Latvian-speaking congregations because he knew English and Latvian and a little bit of German and French because he had to.
Is that, okay, really quick, kind of off topic, but is that was that a popular thing?
Like, were there a lot of Latvian-speaking churches?
Yeah.
Oof, good question. Okay. I don't know.
Or was there enough? Maybe there was a big need for it, and that's why he was like, yep, that's what I'm going to do. I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay.
This in Minnesota?
No. Where he came to Nebraska.
In Nebraska.
Okay.
And so he served a congregation there.
Okay.
And then he served a congregation in Canada.
Oh.
In the Yukon Territory.
Wow.
Oh,
yeah. Way up there.
So my mom was born in Nebraska, but at the age of 2, moved to the Yukon Territory.
Uh-huh.
So, like, she has all these stories growing up in small town, like, old mining town.
Wow.
Middle of nowhere. Like, they had a dog that was half dog, half wolf.
As one does.
As one does, right? In the Yukon Territory, naturally. Right? Anyways, so he served Latvian congregations there, and then he was going to go to Montreal. Winnipeg. Sorry, Winnipeg.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But instead, they came to Minneapolis, where my mom, kind of eighth grade on, lived. So, anyways, attended his congregation, and if you were to talk about denominationally, they would have fit more along the lines of a Missouri Synod congregation. Mm-hmm. But he was an ELCA pastor that was. I don't say lent out, but essentially supplied the pastoral services to this Latvian-speaking congregation. So there was some
cultural bias. I'm just curious, like, when would this have been? Because that sounds like something that maybe wouldn't be as cool now.
Yeah.
That's so fair. Yeah.
So, oh boy. So they were probably like before the ELCA was formed.
Okay.
They were probably one of the parent. Mm-hmm. Part of the parent groups, but then once the ELCA was formed, they probably just remained separate, and they just allowed him to be, you know, rented out, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so I attended his congregation, which was housed, if you will, they rented space from an ELCA congregation. So kind of two ELCA pastors working together, but not completely. Yeah, very, very weird. Huh. But when he was diagnosed with lung cancer and retired, we went to the big ELCA church that was a few blocks away from my house growing up. So, yeah, kind of, sorta ELCA growing up.
Okay.
That's fascinating. Okay, but that is a really good, like, segue, and I don't know if we're going to get into this, but, like, this is where my nerdery is going to come out, where I think it's fascinating to talk about, like, all the parent denominations that formed the ELCA, and maybe I'm the only person in the world who's ever gotten lost in a Wikipedia, in a hole in Wikipedia where you just keep clicking links.
Uh-huh.
Owen Wilson. Wow.
Right? And, like, going back further and further to see, like, where did these denominations or synods, most of that, you know what? There's a Missouri Synod and a Wisconsin Synod and the ELCA. And then before that, there was, like, a Buffalo Synod and an Iowa Synod. And they all come from, like, the fact that the United States is mostly made up of immigrants who brought their faith with them from where they came from and formed their own Latvian church or Norwegian church or German church. And then over the years, there's been all this shuffling of, like, well, now these synods are going to get together and be this thing, and these are going to get together and be these, and then they fight, and then they break up, and then they form different synods or denominations. And so, like, our current iteration is the ELCA, but, like, it's not forever.
Right.
You know, and it hasn't been forever. And there are different, you know, churches within the ELCA that come from different branches of that family. Anyway, I am fascinated by this. I had to take a class called Lutheran Tradition in North America or something. And that was a super nerdy book that I just, like, devoured because I'm like, this is so fascinating.
But it gets to the point that the church and how we organize ourselves, it's a human thing, right? And so it's constantly changing, right? Together we are the body of Christ, but how we organize is messy. And it's okay, but how do we work together? How do we play together nicely or not? And that's important to know. So again, we're going to talk about the kind of why we're ELCA, at least for now, I guess. I mean, you know, like, again, Heather said,
right.
Yeah, you know, because who knows what happens, you know, 50 years from now with whatever denomination. But I just, you know, I think for me, the ELCA is an important denomination, how I understand being a Lutheran and a Christian, important to be a part of because of its inclusivity. And I keep looking back at Jesus on the night in which he was betrayed. You know, whenever we celebrate communion, sorry, I was watching, was it Werewolf by Night last night on Disney Plus? And it was like this super corny, like, way of like doing vampires and monsters and things like that.
And Jesus.
And Jesus now. So, but it's pretty funny how they filmed it. Anyways, so when we think of communion, and I read children's Bibles to my kids where I have to like pre-read it to see if it's worth buying. But when Jesus is celebrating, instituting communion, some of these children's Bibles have Judas leave. But if you look at the text, Judas gets communion.
Yeah.
So if the one who betrays Jesus gets the bread and the wine, why can't we be giving bread and wine to everybody?
Yeah.
Whether or not you're baptized, whether or not you're a quote-unquote Lutheran or whatever. Like, to me, it's a signal that the table is an open place for all to come. And so I think the ELCA leaves room for congregations to take that stance of all are welcome to the table. We have little kids, like 2 years old, that will come up for communion. I mean, my kids take communion. They haven't
kids are very excited about the mid-service snack.
they are pumped for that. What did Dane Cook call those, like, Jeezits? Oh my gosh. Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, he's got a good bit on that. But anyways, like, if someone asks for that, who am I to say that the Holy Spirit is not working through them in which to ask for it? I don't know. So anyways, I like the ELCA because, again, there's the openness to inclusion at the table, but also, as we talked about in our first episode, which, if you haven't listened, it's a bop, perhaps, as Katie might say. We talk a little bit about how we're all created in God's image, and we celebrate that. And Heather also talked about recognizing the full humanity of people. So the ELCA as a whole says we are trying to honor everyone as God's child. Yeah. So that's what I like about the ELCA.
Amen. Boom. Yeah. Drop mic.
Yeah, right. So in the last episode, I was trying to put into words like why I'm Lutheran, and that as a broader sense was really difficult because, like, to me, the things that make sense the most are why I am a part of the ELCA, and that's a big one, is because we do include so many people. You know, we make space for, like you said, we make space at communion for anybody and everybody regardless of your background. Next week, we'll be talking more about, like, why we're an RIC congregation. But that's something that also really plays into effect for me, is the fact that we are inclusive of the LGBT community. You know, we want them to come here. We want them to feel like they have a safe place to show their faith, to worship, to whatever. But that for me is just, it's huge, because not everywhere is going to be like that at all. And so for the ELCA to welcome that has been impactful on my life. And I've seen it be really impactful on a lot of my friends' lives as well, which is sometimes, to me, it's more important than how it impacts my life. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think it's, you know, to go back to the nerdery of it all, which, by the way, if you haven't picked up on this, that's part of the reason we wanted to do this podcast, was to give ourselves a place to be a little bit nerdy about church stuff. Mm-hmm. But, you know, one of the things that I love about the ELCA and teaching kids and adults as a part of the church is the fact that we don't try to have every answer.
Yeah.
We don't try to have all the answers to all the things. Mm-hmm. And that is different mm-hmm. than a lot of churches. Mm-hmm. It a lot of places you'll go and you have to have the right answer. Mm-hmm. And there is one right answer. And here we just are really cognizant of the fact that there is gray area in almost everything. Mm-hmm. And so we don't try to have every answer. We might, you know, we're going to grapple and we're going to talk and we're going to try to figure out some answers, but we don't have to have all the answers. Yeah. And if you want to get real nerdy, like a lot of that goes back to the ELCA view of the Bible mm-hmm. and the role that the Bible plays compared to other denominations. And so, Tom, I don't know if you want to nerd out on that a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I would say if we talk about the Bible and how the ELCA views it, it's the inspired word of God, but it's not without error.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you...
Or not even error, but context.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
And maybe
yeah.
error.
Yeah.
But
so
at
like,
least context.
Yeah, you think about the Old Testament or the Hebrew Bible, and you think of that as originally an oral tradition... Mm-hmm. being impacted by other cultures and faiths around it. Like you can look at our creation story in Genesis and you can see similar creation stories mm-hmm. across world religions. Mm-hmm. So it's not to say that we're right, other people are wrong, but how has the Bible been influenced and impacted by its specific context? I had a professor at seminary who talked about Paul using this image in Philippians about that the Christ hymn that's in Philippians and Paul using it as a way of flipping this thing of child sexual abuse on its head. Mm. And it's like, whoa, where did that come from? Mm. Yeah, I know.
What?
Yeah, I know. Because he nerded out and read some mm-hmm. ancient Greek texts with similar language and that how... if you think of the Trinity as God the Father or God a parent, creator, whatever, and Jesus the Son, again, that how we view the Trinity can be a whole other thing. Mm-hmm. As divine child abuse, mm-hmm. how Paul flips that on its head about Jesus becoming fully human. And anyways, again, the whole point of that is context.
Yeah.
And a lot of churches will just say, nope, this is what it says mm-hmm. and this is what it means.
Mm-hmm.
But how many translations of the Bible do we have? Mm-hmm. Like the NRSV, the New Revised Standard Version, just got updated
yep. mm-hmm.
within
yep.
the last year.
Yep.
That makes a big difference.
Wait, and who did the updating and who does the translations? Oh, yeah, people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
People mm-hmm. who are not perfect and are not right. God.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, you think of just the word love in the English language. The Greek has three uses of it and three distinct meanings, mm-hmm. right? Like our view, I love a cheeseburger. Like I love me a cheeseburger.
Cue cheeseburger, the cheeseburger song from VeggieTales right now.
Oh, that'd be good.
Anyways, but like that's not the same way I love my wife or my kids.
Right.
Like it's different, right? But when you read it, well, who knows, mm-hmm. right? So context matters in how we read the Bible. And so if you come to an ELCA congregation and you hear some of this, like, well, who cares about words sort of stuff? Well, it matters because the context in which the Bible was written matters, just mm-hmm. like our context today matters than a year ago, mm-hmm. 2, 3, 4, 10 years ago.
And as nerdy as it is to talk about like our view of the Bible compared to other denominations' view of the Bible, that matters in the way that we express ourselves as a community and who gets to be in and who gets to be out. You know, in other denominations, they will say that women are not allowed to be pastors. In fact, many denominations will not allow women to be ordained, including other Lutheran denominations. Yeah. Missouri Synod, Wisconsin Synod do not allow women to be ordained. Some of them don't allow women to vote in congregational votes or serve on in leadership roles. And they use the Bible as justification for that, saying that, well, the Bible clearly says that I don't know the citation of whatever, but, you know, saying that, like, somewhere it says women should be quiet, right? Context matters. How you view the Bible matters, because as ELCA Lutherans, we can say, like, yes, there was a context for that, and it's not the same as our context. And we view women as fully human and created in God's image, just the same as anyone else. And so, of course, they should be able to be ordained in leadership and in a, you know, viewed as equals in the church. And so how we view the Bible really does matter in a lot of ways. And So why am I ELCA? Because I think it's important to not just look for the easy answers. And and I love that we allow for space in most things.
No, I think that's a really good point too. I mean, So like I said, growing up in ELCA church, whatever, the amount of conversations that I've had with other people who are a part of, whether it be the same church as me or different church as me, and how all of our beliefs are, you know, they vary, or like the questions that we have, they vary, has been very eye-opening. And just fascinating because of that reason, because there's, you know, we're just open to any possibility. And going back to, I forget which one of you said it, but the kind of the gray area of all these questions and there not being one answer for it. It's, to me, it's how are you supposed to learn from others, whether they be pastors, friends, family members, whatever, other congregation members, how are you supposed to learn about all this and all the different possibilities that are out there if you have just one concrete answer, like this is the way that it is? It's not. And I think too, it matters for not only the way that you see the or that we see the Bible, but also our context, because each of us are from such different contexts that, like, who am I to say to you, the Bible says this, and for that reason, like, you can't be here.
Well, and kind of going off of that, one of the other things that I really appreciate about the ELCA and the fact that we do see that gray area and not claim to have all the answers is that it gives us opportunities to work with other churches, other denominations, and to partner with other churches to, you know, in all sorts of ways. Where Trinity participates in the interfaith, is there a name for that?
Just a prayer service with other faiths,
And so, and we can value that and recognize the goodness in other traditions and other denominations, even though we don't agree with them on many things. You know, and the ELCA is in, you know, full communion relationships with other church, with the Episcopal Church and the Reformed Church and a couple other ones. And so we can say, like, we agree on enough stuff that, like, let's be partners. Let's, you know, share pastors. Let's do other things where there's a need and it makes sense, even though we don't agree on everything. And that's not the case for, you know, many other churches. So I appreciate that and think it's just another way where we can say, like, well, you know, we like what we have. We mostly agree with the stuff that we're saying here at Trinity, but we don't have to claim to have every answer.
I don't want this just to be a love letter to the ELCA, because there are things that certainly bug me about our denomination. We don't have to just have a, you know, a complaining session either, because that happens more often than not. But we could.
Big move.
But, you know, like, just some of the things, some of the big goals and visions that's been set out, it's like, it's kind of lame. like, engage 1 million new people as we grow the church together. It's like, well, that's just...
What's the point?
What's the point of that? All denominations are shrinking numerically, right? But, like, that shouldn't be the point. Like, how can we... I'm forgetting the bishop's name.
Bishop Layla Ortiz of Washington, D.C. So
Bishop Ortiz, Heather told me, as we debriefed the extravaganza, we shouldn't be measuring numbers. It's all about impact. Like, how... But not that... How do we measure impact? That's another question. But, like, that should be the focus, right? Mm-hmm. Like, not just making, you know, engaging 1 million people. Like, sure, you could be on the corner handing out flyers. Well, check the box, I engaged people. Like, that's not the point. Or counting up your Facebook views. That's not what matters, right?
Right. Or even how many members do we have in a congregation?
Right.
Like, that's different than what is our impact?
Yeah.
And who are we impacting?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So anyways, like, there are things that I'm sure we have issues with, but we're running out of time quickly. Sorry, just trying to keep these succinct for folks so you're not just...
And it turns out we have a lot of things to say on this topic.
It's true.
So, but I'll leave it there for right now. But what I want to encourage you, if you're listening, if there are things you want to hear us talk about that you want to be engaged with, you know, email those to us.
Yeah.
Because we, you know, help guide where this podcast is going to go. If you want to hear more about that E-word evangelism or whatever, like, oh yeah, we can geek out about it, but maybe in ways that you might not expect. So,
where should people email?
Oh, that's a great question. I think they should email Katie.
Yeah, that's totally great. So, if you have any questions, comments, whatever it may
suggestions,
yeah,
helpful or unhelpful.
Yes.
Mostly helpful is good.
Yes. But if you have anything like that, you can email me. It's Katie, K-A-T-I-E, at trinity-ec.org. We'd love to hear from you.
All right. Well, that wraps it up for episode 2 of What's the Point, with Heather Day, Katie O'Connell, and Tom Westcott at Trinity Lutheran Church. We are excited to wrap up our first season with our final episode, episode 3, next week. We'll see you then.